This morning, if you will, open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Something that's just been on my heart ever since camp. We were challenged to be in God's Word, to stay in God's Word, to ground ourselves in God's Word. And this morning, I want to communicate the importance, communicate the need, the hunger that we should have for God's Word. And so this morning, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7. Towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and see what God has for us and what God is teaching us through this. A few months ago, I had the privilege to preach on a Sunday morning. Brother Craig was away hiking on his annual trip, and I had the honor and the privilege to be able to speak to you on Sunday morning. And I started a series that I said over the time that I'm able to preach on Sunday morning or asked to preach on Sunday morning, that I will just continue with this. It's an easy theme to work off, and I can go a bunch of different directions with it. And it was titled Greater Than. And last time we looked at it, we looked at Jesus was greater than the sacrificial system. And today we're going to look at how God's Word is greater than our opinions. God's Word is greater than our opinions. And so I want us to understand how we develop opinions, where we base our opinions from, and how we should stand on our opinions against things that we find important. And so it got me thinking, what do we have opinions about? We have opinions about a lot of stuff, right? You're not born into this world automatically with opinions. You form opinions. You develop opinions. And there's a lot of factors that influence where your opinions develop from or where your opinions come from. And the one thing that I have an opinion on is sports. If you've ever had a conversation with me, you will know that sports is something that I'm passionate about, and I have many opinions on sports. Who's good teams, who's bad teams, who's good conferences, who's bad conferences, all of that kind of stuff. Some of you are passionate about politics, and that's what you live for. You enjoy it. You love it. And you form your opinions on politics based on things that influence you, things that surround you, things that pour into your life. And so we have all of these things that we build our opinions off of. And so I got to thinking, what are those things? What are those things that help us develop an opinion? The first thing that I wrote down was our family. That's the one thing that usually growing up we're surrounded by, that we are circled by as we are brought up into this world. And so a lot of times our families help shape our opinions on certain things. And then there is our friends. We get to choose our friends. We get to decide what people we're going to surround ourselves. And a lot of times based on our opinions is based who we choose our friends. We choose friends that share the same opinions as we do. They share the same the mindset. They share the same lifestyle. They share the same whatever because we have shared opinions. We agree that this is where we stand and this is what we believe. And then there's our religious background. A lot of times our opinions are shaped by where we go to church and who we serve under or what God we worship. And so the church, Christianity, Islam, Muslim, it shapes their opinions. It shapes how they think about people, how they treat people, how they go about life. So there's so many factors. There's so many things that shape our opinions. One other one, our culture, the community that we live in, right? It shapes our opinions. It shapes how we think about stuff. In my opinion, if I'm going to say something to this group of people, I'm probably going to say y'all, right? Okay, but somebody from a different part of the United States may say, you all. So their opinion was shaped by just the people that they're around. That's a small example of how that works. That our opinions, that we don't just come out of the womb and say, okay, I have opinions on all of these things. They're shaped, they're formed, they're built. And today, as Christians, as a room full of believers, I want us to understand that our opinions should not be just supported by God's Word, but they should be God's Word. When we stand for something, when we live for something, when we believe in something, we should believe it because God's Word says it to be true. And so I think that we've drifted from that. And this morning I want us to look at Matthew chapter 7 and get a good picture of where we should stand. Before we do that, I want to share a story with you that kind of convicted me of this topic that I'm preaching on a few years ago. I was at camp in West Palm Beach, Florida, at Missions Fuge, which is ran through Lifeway, and there's hundreds of kids there. We're staying in these dorm rooms. It's at Palm Beach Atlantic University, and we're staying in these dorm rooms. We're on like the fourth floor, and there's another group of kids staying across the hall from us, and we were crazy, okay? We just did stupid stuff at camp. We just did some crazy stuff, and we didn't think that there was anybody that could, like, one-up us. We thought that we would always be able to out-dumb somebody or do something crazier than the another group. And when we were there, there was this group from South Carolina standing across the hall from us. They did it. They were crazy. But they had a way about them, something that they did the whole time they were there. They liked to cuss. And they used the language the whole week. Usually when leaders weren't around, they liked to talk bad about girls when nobody was around. They did all of these things that wasn't very Christ-centered, if you would. Well, we were hanging out, and David, who is my student pastor, he's walking beside me, and one of the kids started cussing. We get back to the room, and I'm like, oh, man, about to have that talk to, you know, like, I didn't do anything. It wasn't me. You need to talk to their youth pastor. And he sits me down and he says, have they been talking like this all week? And I said, yeah, they have. And then instantly, before he could say anything else, I begin to justify their actions. I said, that's just how they're raised, man. Like, that's just the culture that they were brought in. They're told that that's okay. That's not a big deal. And David looked at me and he challenged me with this. He says, just because the culture says it's acceptable doesn't mean we have to agree. Because oftentimes God's word doesn't agree. And I think that right there shifted my mindset of how I shape my opinions. Just because the culture says yes, just because friends or family may say yes, doesn't always mean it's right. It doesn't always mean that it's acceptable. Doesn't always mean that something that I'm ready to run out this door and stand for. But if it's grounded in God's word, if it's in God's word, and God is calling me to do it, then I need to rise up and stand for it. I need to rise up and let it be my opinion on certain issues and certain things. And so this morning, as I stated earlier, I think that believers need to understand that God's word shouldn't just support our opinion, but God's word should be our opinion. And we're going to dive into that a little bit more in just a few minutes. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7 together. We're going to start with verses 24 through 25. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. The first thing that I want you to see, if you're taking notes this morning, the first truth that we see in Scripture is live out God's word. Live out God's word. Jesus is a great communicator, a great speaker. We see that all throughout Scripture. He is finishing, he's concluding a Sermon on the Mount that spans from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7, and there is good stuff. If you have not read that in a while, I encourage you today, take some time, read through that. Mary Hannah from camp, she came home from camp, and she began to do a reading plan, and she was reading through Matthew, and it was one night, we were laying in bed, we're both reading the Bible, we got the TV on mute, and she paused, and she looked at me, and she said, I don't understand why people don't preach this more, because there is good stuff. There is good stuff in the Sermon on the Mount. There is stuff that we can apply instantly as believers. And so, Jesus is concluding his Sermon on the Mount, and just like any good speaker, he's coming to a spot where he wants to drop them off, right? He's moving to a place where he wants to say, hey, this is it. Take it. Go do something with it. Go use it. And he's transparent. He knows. He relates to something that he knows, carpentry, right? So he begins to talk about building a house and drawing the conclusions from there. He uses that to conclude this sermon. And what he's stating is a result of hearing and knowing the words that are spoken. Hearing and knowing. And he gives the crowd, he gives the people that were there, he gives them two options. He said, your first option is this, is what we see in Matthew 7, 24 through 25. He said, your first option is to hear the word and do something with it. He said, hear the word and do something with it. He compares this person to what? He compares them to a wise person, a wise man. He said that this person would be like somebody who built their house on the rock. Storms came, wind came, flood came. That house is still standing. Why? Because the foundation is where it needs to be and what it needs to be. He compares this person to somebody who is wise. When we, as believers, form our opinions, we form our opinions on how to do life, what to stand for in life, what we find acceptable in life. And what Jesus is teaching here is he's teaching through many different things that influence the way that we do life in the Sermon on the Mount. And he's saying that you're here today in this crowd. Take this and use it. Take it and apply it. Take it and do something with it. And so often, the word of God goes in one ear and out the other. The word of God is heard, we listen to it, we comprehend a short portion of it, and then we move forward and then we forget about it. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to just hear it and do nothing with it. I want you to do something with it. You would be wise if you do that. And what I love is that Jesus didn't say, here's the deal. If this doesn't work for you, like, I'll be on the side of the stage after. Maybe we can negotiate something. You know, maybe we can tweak this to fit you a little bit better. You know, if you struggle with loving people, if that's you and there's just that person in your life or those people in your life that you just can't love, let's talk about it. Maybe we can figure out a plan for where you don't have to love those four people, but as long as you love everybody else, you're good. He didn't say that. You know, he didn't say that, you know, I know that I wired you to have a temper. Okay, so if as long as you only let your temper get the best of you and you get angry at people like 3 days out of the week instead of five, we're making progress. That's a good, we'll negotiate that deal. That's good. He didn't say that. He said, you would be wise if you do what I have spoken. You would be wise if you do what I've said. You would be like a person who built their house on the rock. And I think that so often, we're not those wise people. We tend to hear the word and do nothing with the word. We tend to hear the word and don't act on the word. Let's just be honest, some of us don't even want to hear the word. James 1:22, I believe he was kind of reinforcing what Jesus said. He said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Jesus was calling those that were there, that were listening to the Sermon on the Mount, to do something. And this morning, church, as we look at our first point, I believe that we need to do something. You say, what are we doing? We're talking about opinions. I'm saying that you need to ground your opinions in God's word and let them and stand on those. Stop straying. Stop taking from other places where you gather and form your opinions. God's satisfaction with us stems from our obedience to his word. And this means taking his word, developing our opinions for how to handle situations, how to deal with others, and how we do life. If we want to be pleasing Christians, if we want to be Christians who produce good fruit, then we would be Christians who read God's word, who know God's word, and act on God's word, who look at God's word and form our opinions based on God's word. That will be something that's pleasing to God. So the first point, live out God's word. The second point that we see this morning is don't ignore God's word. Matthew 7, 26 through 27 says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, first option that Jesus gave them was hear the words, do the words. Second option that he gave them, he says, you can be a person who hears the words and does nothing with them. He compares this person to what? A foolish person, a fool. And he says that this person would be somebody who builds their house on the sand. The floods come, the wind blows, the storm takes place, and guess what? The house falls. That house falls. And this morning, as we think about where we stand in our opinions, unfortunately, I believe that many believers, many Christians, tend to stay here. We hear God's word, we know God's word, but we don't always live God's word. We hear God's word, we know God's word, but we don't always act on God's word. And I think that that's why we see the struggle that we see today. I think that that's why we see part of the reason that we see churches closing their doors is because the church ignores God's words and acts just as the world acts. They look just like the world. They look just like the culture around them. Now, I'm not saying this morning that we shouldn't shape ourselves in some way to reach the people around us. Don't get me wrong. But our basis for where we stand should be saturated and grounded in the Word of God. And when we move from that, we get into a dangerous area. We find ourselves contradicting ourselves. See, what I mean by this is for some of you, you're in one hand, you're holding to things that you stand for biblically. And in your other hand, you're standing for things that you let shape your opinions by the culture around you. For instance, a few weeks ago, probably close to a month ago now, the Supreme Court ruling about the homosexual marriage, I saw posts all over the place on social media with scripture and scripture and scripture standing for what they think believe for biblical marriage. Great, right? Amen. Well, guess what? Why aren't you standing for the other stuff? Why aren't we taking a stand? Why aren't our opinions, when we get the opportunity to speak about the other stuff that God's word says and put scripture there to support it, to put verses there, to put things there to say, this is why it's wrong. We have to do that as well. I'm not just talking about the Supreme Court ruling. That's not what this sermon is based off of. I just see a lot of Christians who, in one hand, hold their opinions biblically, in another hand, hold their opinions culturally and worldly. And we try to juggle those. And God's word, I see too much truth in there to ignore the fact that I shouldn't just be holding on and leeching to the word of God for where I stand for what I stand for and what I live for. And I hope that as a church, as believers today, you will stand with me. That you will be with us as a community of believers that we say, ultimately what I believe and what I stand for is in the Word of God. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of our God will stand forever. There are going to be times when culture, in our culture where topics are hot, and issues are bullying, and we will be faced to make a decision. They're gonna come to a spot where we have to choose sides. And too often we like to hold on to both. And we're gonna be put in a situation where we have to take a stand. And I pray that your opinions and who you are is grounded so much in the Word of God that you don't hesitate to point to God's word for why you stand for what you stand for. Because I want you to understand this. When our culture shifts, its heart will shift. But when our culture shifts, God's word stays the same. When stuff around us is going on that I consider persecution, I thank God for it, one. Why? Because I see in Scripture, if I'm not being persecuted, am I really following Jesus? But I ask, how can I stand? How can I allow my opinions to be grounded in the Word of God? Not just be supported by the Word of God, because this is what we do as Christians. We take this verse, and we put it together, and we're like, I can do this because the Word of God says that. But I want to take up from Genesis to Revelation, I want to take up the whole counsel of Scripture and live by it. That's what it means to not ignore the Word of God. It's to be grounded in the Word of God. I hate to admit this, but for a long time, I saw no need to open up my Bible. I saw no need. I could come to church and hear good sermons like we hear from Brother Craig on a weekly basis. I could go to Sunday school and be taught by great teachers. What was the need for me to open up my Bible and study it for myself? Because I was just leeching to other people and growing off of what they knew. That's not a bad thing. That's discipleship. That's good stuff. But there should be a time in your life as a believer where you're under the conviction that you need to be grounded in the Word of God. that you need to be form your own opinions based off of God's word. That you need to understand the text and what the scripture says and not choose this verse and this verse from over here, put them together to justify your actions, but to realize that God's word through and through, the whole chapter, verse by verse by verse, teaches us the way that we should live. And unfortunately, Christians have the mindset of, if I don't read God's word and I don't know God's word, then I can't be held accountable for God's word. And oh, are you wrong? Oh, are you wrong? Because you have the privilege and the opportunity to sit and worship services like this. But not only that, you own, most of you in this church own a copy of God's word. Some of you, myself included, own like 15, 20. We have the copy of God's word. God's put it there for us to study. God's put it there for us to open and to learn from. We want to know God more. Open your Bible. You can ask any of these teenagers. When they come to me and ask me, they're struggling, they're dealing with something, what's the first thing that I say is, when's the last time you read the Bible? Because I believe when you are grounded in the word of God, you will learn how to deal with stuff. You will learn how to go through situations. You will learn how to handle life. And the reason that churches are falling apart, I truly believe this, is because they aren't grounded in the word of God. Not just from a theological perspective of a church as a unit, but the church, you, individuals, people, they aren't grounding their lives in the word of God. And what happens is, this side's opinion is different than this side's opinion. And this side's opinion is different from this side's opinion. Why? Because they're being influenced by everything around them and not influenced by the word of God. The last thing that we see this morning, Matthew 7, 28 through 29 says this. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. The last thing that I want, point that I want you to see is God's word is authority. God's word is authority. The crowds were astonished. When it says that, when it makes that statement, basically there was an emotional response. Whether that was tears, whether that was sobbing, whether that was crying, I'm not sure. But commentaries tell me that it was an emotional response. Therefore, they were that second option. They heard it, and they didn't really do nothing with it. They heard it, but they didn't act upon it. The camp pastor this year, John, he made this comment, and it's been in my brain ever since we've left. He made the statement, he said, the Bible is our rule for faith and practice. The Bible is our rule for faith and practice. Hear this out. It's our rule. How is it our rule? It is our rule because it should have the final authority in our life. It should have the final say. When we're struggling, when we're dealing, when we're juggling with where we should stand and what we should believe and how we should act and where we should go, God's word. It should have the final say. It should have the final authority. When you're asking people, I'm bad about doing this. I will be just straight up with you. If I'm struggling with making a decision, I will ask 1,000 people what they think I should do. And then guess where I end up? The same spot. Because half of them are like, go for it. The other half are like, don't do it. And so I'm like, I'm sitting in the same spot. But God's word is where I need to turn to. God's word is where the church, where believers need to look to. It's our rule. It has the final say. It has that final authority. Practice. Practice the act of what? It's the act of doing something over and over and over again. If I'm going to practice a jump shot, I'm going to get someone to pass the ball, and I'm going to shoot the ball 1,000 times. I'm going to shoot it and shoot it and shoot it and shoot it until it becomes muscle memory. So when I get in the game, when I get in the situation where I have to take the shot, I get the ball, I shoot it, boom. It's natural. That's practice. Here's what's cool, is each and every one of us have the opportunity to practice the same thing every day. Life. Life. That's the one thing that we all have in common, is that each and every day we get to thank the good Lord for another day, and we get to do life together. We get to do life in this community. What's that mean? How does practice play in it? That means you get the opportunity every single day to practice what God's word says. It's our rule for faith and practice. It has the final authority. It has the final say when we're looking to develop opinions, when we're looking to figure out where we stand. And it's something that we should live every single day. Practice it. And guess what? I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to get angry tomorrow, but I'm going to try not to. Why? Because the Word of God tells me to. I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to struggle with loving somebody next week. Why? Because I'm human. I'm in the flesh. Just because we practice the Word of God doesn't mean that you're going to go through and be perfect. We're still sinners. Amen? So it's the concept of when I get the ball to shoot that shot, guess what? That doesn't mean it's going in. But at least I'm trying. I'm putting forth an effort. And that's the spot where we end today, is are you putting forth an effort? Are you in God's Word? Are you looking at His Word and saying, this is where I'll stand, this is what my opinion will be, this is where I will live, because I know it's true, I know it's right, and I know it's what I believe? Are you in another spot where you're saying, you know what, give or take it. If I read it, I read it. If I don't, I don't. First thing that I want to encourage you to as we come to a time of response, a time of invitation. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, as Brother Craig says before, take the one that's in the pew. We will replace those. But open God's Word on a daily basis. I know a lot of people encourage them to wake up early and study it. I'm just going to ask you to start somewhere. Start somewhere. Whether it be at night, whether it be at lunch, whether it be in the morning, just start somewhere. If you're here today and you say, I'm going to start somewhere, but I don't know where to start. Brother Craig, myself, Brother Joey, Brother Mark, come see us. We can point you in a direction, a place to start. Start in God's Word. Some of you here today, you hear all this stuff about God's Word and you say, I don't value it because I don't have a relationship with Christ. And you won't. Until you choose Jesus, until you give your life to Christ, until you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you will not value the Word of God in a way that the church should. And so this morning, if you're here and you want to give your life to Christ, myself, in just a few moments, Brother Craig will be down front, myself will be down front, come to us and let us show you in God's Word what it means to follow Him. Because that's where we learn. Maybe this morning, you're one of those people that I talked about. You don't find a need to get in it. I ask that during this time, whether it's coming down to the altar or praying where you are, that you ask God to give you a desire and a thirst and a hunger to get in His Word, to know His Word, to study His Word, so that you're grounded in where you should be, and it makes practicing it all that more easy. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father God, we thank You for today. We thank You for bringing us here to this spot to worship You, God. God, I pray that during this time of invitation, during this time of response, that we will come to our senses, God, that You will convict our hearts of what we need to do. Maybe it's make a decision to trust in You as our Lord and Savior. Maybe it's join this church, God, and be a member of a body of believers who is trying to practice on a daily basis Your Word. Maybe it's just committing to opening up on a daily basis the Word of God and digging into it and growing in it and growing our understanding of You. God, we thank You for bringing us to this place. We thank You for giving us this opportunity to worship together, God. And I pray that during this time, You will do what only You can do. And that's draw people closer to You, bring people closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen.